say the day today?
No, you have to. People would be disoriented.
Not try it.
Thursday.
Not yet.
Yeah.
Now? Thursday. I can't do it. It's yours. I can't.
Yeah, I've trademarked it.
I can't do it. That's your thing. Hi, everybody. It's Bill and it's Wendy. As we both pointed out in our own style, it is Thursday. We're thrilled that you're listening. It should be a fun show. We are in a little while going to talk about what's hot from the world of television. It's the anniversary of what you and I consider to be HBO's greatest achievement, their finest show.
And there are some other great shows on HBO, but this tops the heap.
Oh, yeah.
We'll talk about that in a moment. First, we need to mention, and we should have mentioned this on 720, the AM side of things. Rick Steves.
The best Formula One racer of all time.
Who travels
a lot
and who gets his time zones mixed up.
Yeah, he was scheduled to be our guest on the regular show today. Didn't call in. We were all worried. Jasmine was tearing her hair out. She's like, what happened to Rick Steves? She was so afraid. His publicist somehow got the times mixed up.
So tomorrow morning at 11:30, we will be speaking to Rick Steves.
Race car legend Rick Steves.
And Steve Ricks.
He'll also be on. He'll also be on. I know this is just flat out unprofessional, because this is business doings that should be behind the scenes. But Jasmine, our producer, just handed us a list. This is fantastic. These are potential guests, and there's a company that specializes.
Will no longer deal with us.
This is probably the first and last time they'll deal with us. They specialize in nostalgic guests, guests that were popular, their shows were on, their movies were out.
Right up your alley.
A while ago, I love stuff like this.
Is Claudine Longet
or Tuesday Well
down there?
Neither of them. I looked. All my heroes that I thought I've always wanted to interview, like a guy like Tennessee Tuxedo, I thought, let's have him on.
Chumley.
He's done on. Good. That was great. That was fantastic.
I realized whenever I do impressions, I only do names, either the cohorts of the person I'm doing or that
their own
person.
Name. Like, can you do a little bit of your infamous Lena Horne impression?
I'm Lena Horne.
See, now that's beautiful, but again, it's just Lena Horne saying her name.
Although I could say wool.
That's new.
I'm working on it.
Is that for the new Netflix special?
Yes. Toot my horn is what it's called.
Oh, that's fantastic. Now that's fun.
It's just my mother-in-law, I've decided. She has now inspired Lena Horne, not Lola Falana.
No.
That one I'm still working on.
You got to get Lola Falana. Kids love her.
She's sassy.
Yes, so sassy. So here's the premise here is they send our producer, Jasmine, a list of potential guests for us, and then it's up for you and I to decide if we want to have them on the show. I'll just throw the names at you. Let's vote.
This is like a behind-the-scenes
thing? Yeah, it's behind-the-scenes.
Can I tell you I enjoy that immensely? Like, this should be behind-the-scenes. This
it
is the stream.
Be. Yeah, right. You're right.
We could crack open all the secrets of radio on this stream.
I'm up for
this
it.
This is pulling back the curtain,
yes,
baby.
Yes, it is. It's all that and more. All right, so here's who they suggest. These are potential guests. It's up to us. What about Marion Ross, TV's Mrs. C?
Every Mother's Day, people put her on one of the top 10 lists of the TV's
greatest TV
best
mothers.
She
would be.
I'd love to talk to her.
I would say of all the TV moms, she would be the one that most of us, I would think, would want to have. She was very easygoing, never yelled.
And can I tell you, in real life, I didn't meet her in real life, but when I saw her on other things that wasn't Happy Days, she was a hoot.
She not only a hoot, Wendy, she was beautiful. She's on an episode of The Fugitive, I think. I'm almost positive The Fugitive. And this is way before Happy Days. And all she is just stunning. She's just beautiful and funny. And do you remember what her euphemism was, like, when she and Mr. Cunningham would potentially...
Howard
Cunningham, sure. When they would be amorous toward each other, do you remember what her wording was on that?
I can't remember it.
She would say, Howard's getting frisky.
Frisky.
Yeah.
That's it.
So we could have Ron to talk about that.
You can bring that up.
Marion Ross, so we're saying yes?
I would love to talk to her.
I would love to talk to her. All right, she's a yes.
And just the longevity of her career.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
forever.
We can finally get to the bottom of what happened to Chuck.
Boy, that would be a mystery that should be solved.
Chuck Cunningham, of course, appeared in the first episode only, or
first season.
But not very frequently in that first season.
Not often.
Bouncing a basketball mainly.
Always with a basketball. The best Chuck joke on the history of Happy Days was the Christmas episode where they handed Chuck his gift, and it was obviously a wrapped basketball, and he didn't know what it was, and he shook it. He was confused as to what it was. Oh, Chuck Cunningham. All right, so yes to Marion Ross. Next up, Loretta Swit. Do we want Loretta Swit on?
There is, I don't know if it's MeTV or what, but it's on the cable, you know, mm-hmm. or whatever we have. Mm-hmm. MASH is rerun like back to back to back to back every right. night, and we happened upon it, and that was the best show. That was honestly one of the best
Solid
shows at
show.
The time.
Yeah.
And she was remarkable in that show.
She was Hot Lips Houlihan.
Yep.
Do you want to hear an interesting story about the soundtrack, the laugh track to MASH? Did you ever notice anything interesting about the laugh track?
No, a standout laugher.
They would, the people who put the show together insisted, because CBS said, well, it's a sitcom, you got to have a laugh track. And they're like, well,
it's the war.
It's not really a sitcom. And they go, no, it's a sitcom. And sitcoms need a laugh track because people watching the show won't know what's funny if they don't hear other people laughing. You can't possibly leave it in the hands of the viewers to decide what's funny. They won't understand it. So the compromise was the show has a laugh track unless they're in like the ER scenes, unless they're in scenes where guys are getting
operating room
operated on. Yeah. So there's no laugh track ever in those scenes, but the rest of the show does have a laugh track. That was the summit.
Can I ask you a question? Because you know more, you studied film and probably television, I would imagine.
Uh-huh.
And I know this is going to sound like the dumbest question I've ever asked, and I apologize right now.
Where did babies come from?
No.
Oh.
That I had to explain to you.
Right. And I still don't believe you. It seems messy. I doubt that what you told me is true.
I am not a liar. I am many things. I am not
All right.
a liar.
I'll believe you, I guess.
Is that honestly why they put laugh tracks in things?
Yes.
To tell us, the audience, when to laugh?
Yes.
Were we that stupid as viewers?
Yeah. They perceived us as not being smart enough to know when things were and weren't funny. So producers, and this goes back to the 1950s, said, because original television was live, so you had a live audience. So, of course, those people were laughing. No problem.
Right.
But once they went to tape,
was cheaper not to have a studio audience,
yeah. So in the 60s, they went, well, now we'll do these kind of in studios without an audience, but this will confuse the viewer. They won't know what's funny if they don't hear laughter.
That's insulting.
Thus was born the laugh track. It is insulting.
Why do they use it still to this day, then? And I want to ask you also that on the Roseanne spinoff, The Conners, which I honestly am really loving, and they make sure to say this is filmed before a live
audience.
Just so we don't think it's a laugh track. Is that why they say that?
Yeah, I guess so. Because
I wondered
hear that all the
why
time,
they
too,
said
and you're
that.
Like, well, what do I need to know that for?
That's exactly what I said. But
it does. It proves to you that real people, because when you think about it, most of those laugh tracks were made in the 60s.
So all those
means
people are dead.
They're dead. And they're probably not laughing. Probably.
You don't know.
I think Heaven's
very funny.
Yeah.
Hell, not so much.
No.
Was Loretta Swit in the movie and the TV show? Oh. Who played Hot Lips Houlihan in the... I can't remember.
I think Sally Kellerman.
You're absolutely 100% right.
Yeah.
Loretta Swit was in an episode of Love American Style. I would love to talk to her about that, because that was one of the best shows on TV.
Well, a guest I'm about to mention to you is also in Love American Style. That's coming up in just a little bit. He did other things too, but...
All right, so Loretta Swit, what do you think?
I'm going to put that one on hold. I don't need to talk to Loretta Swit. If I did, it wouldn't be bad. But she doesn't have the urgency of a Marion Ross to me.
I'd have to agree with you.
Right? Yeah.
She was great.
Yeah, she
was
good.
But yeah, I would just have her on to say you were great. Thank you so much for being with us.
Yeah, all right. So we'll put her on temporary hold.
Okay.
What about Michael Learned?
She was one of the most beautiful women I've ever seen. She was
Walton.
I was going to say Ma, but wasn't that Grandma?
No, that was Grandma Walton.
I thought they called her Ma, but no.
I think they called Ellen Corby Grandma Walton.
Yeah, you're right.
And Michael Learned was just Ma Walton.
Michael Learned was a great mom. very opposite of me.
Oh, really?
Well, she was just such a wholesome, wonderful mother.
Yeah. Yeah. Earthy.
Well, I mean, there were the Waltons. They lived on Walton Mountain. There wasn't much to do except, you know, beat a stick on a rug that was hanging on the clothesline.
That's all you had back then. But I think she orchestrated, like, you know when the Waltons would all say goodnight to each other?
Yeah.
I think it was Ma Walton who said, Jim Bob, you go first, and then we'll go to Mary. Like, she was the one who determined the running order, I think, of the goodnights. She was the orchestrator of all things goodnight on the Waltons.
She started it?
I think so. Pretty sure.
She is the only other female Michael I know. The
Michael
only other,
Sneed.
Yep, that's the only other one who is a columnist. Columnist.
Right, yeah.
So, I don't need to have her.
No, me neither. What about Michael Sneed? You want to have her on?
Sure. All I want to spool pasta with her live on the radio.
All right.
Bring Phil Vitale in, too.
All right. That'd be fun. Alison Arngrim. Do we want Alison Arngrim on the show?
I never was a big fan of the show she was on.
You know, all right, so she was on Little House on the Prairie. She was Nellie Olson.
The mean one.
The bad girl in town. When bad girl didn't mean slept around, bad girl just meant she had a...
Mischievous.
Yeah, she was mischievous. I never watched it growing up, but then when my daughters were little, they took a liking to Little House on the Prairie, and I would watch it with them. And it was fine. It was very...
Fine is fine.
It was just fine, right?
Yeah.
It didn't make me laugh or cry. They were very moved by it because they, you know, they were four or five.
And little girls, and Laura Ingalls was the big thing. Melissa Gilbert?
Yeah, yeah.
No.
So no to Alison Arngrim.
Yeah, I don't think I need to talk. Whoa, Nelly! Although I'd like to say that.
That'd be fun to say to her.
And then we could hang up?
Anson Williams.
I talked to Potsy. We talked to him
we
before.
Had him on
he
a
was
few
charming.
Years ago. Now then, he was live in studio. This time he would just be over the phone, unless we wanted to fly him in, but that gets pricey.
What is he up to? And don't say about 5'11".
It doesn't look like he's doing much by way of acting. He survived a cancer scare in 2018.
Then maybe we should talk to him.
He had an accident. It doesn't really go into great detail, but there was a potentially deadly accident he was involved in. And then he said, they say he's available to talk about his days as Potsy Weber on Happy Days. What if we didn't bring that up at all? Would we be doing our jobs? It says here that he beat out John Travolta for the role of Potsy.
Well, we could talk to him about that. And he was also at the Golden Globes to surprise Henry Winkler.
Oh, was he?
So we could maybe talk to him about that.
Do you know who his uncle is? Anson Williams' uncle? Now, I did know this, but I don't think most people know this. His uncle is somebody famous from the world of medicine. Or health.
Dr. Sanjay Gupta?
Yes. Dr. Sanjay Gupta is Potsy Weber's uncle. Did you know that?
No. Dr. Spock.
No. Great guess. Benjamin Spock?
Yeah, the baby doctor guy.
Anson Williams is the nephew of Dr. Henry Heimlich, the inventor of the Heimlich maneuver.
Who just died a few years ago.
Yeah, choked on a bad piece of chicken. Because nobody would give him the Heimlich. What an ironic way to go.
He did not die that way.
No, he did not.
I believed you for a half a second.
Did not.
I could take or leave because...
I'll put him as a maybe.
What do you think?
I think because we already talked to him once, and he was a very nice guy.
He was great, but...
Who was the modern-day star? There's some actress who's very, very popular, who he kind of found... Do you know who I'm talking about? He told us the story, and our mouths were agape, Wendy, because we had no idea that this was true. But he said that there was some actress that he directed in a made-for-TV movie who is now like a Hollywood A-lister, and he keeps in touch with her. She still calls and asks for advice all the time, but I can't remember who it was. I want to say Jennifer Lawrence, but I could be wrong. Did he direct Jennifer Lawrence in something, maybe?
I don't know, but we could talk to him about Penny Marshall's death. Of course,
good.
We could with Marion Ross as well.
Right.
But
that's very good.
We could.
You want to put him down as a pot? Yeah.
All although, right. Do we want two Happy Days people? And if so, which one wins out?
Well, I would. You know, I want Ralph Malph.
You still got it.
He's got a million of them. I'm putting Anson Williams as a maybe. Let me run one more past you. Rich Little. Impressionist to the stars and of the stars.
This is
uncomfortable.
Jimmy Mack and I.
Uncomfortable story about him.
Jimmy Mack and I went to, we did something for a podcast Ron Onesti was doing at the Arcata.
Yeah.
And Ron asked me to sit in and help him interview Rich Little.
Yes.
Which I wasn't going to pass that up because what a legend.
Yes.
Ron did most of the talking, though. He didn't really need me. It was really an honor to be able to sit there.
Yeah.
We videotaped it, and he was really great. He wasn't crotchety or anything.
Oh, that's good.
And he went on and did a really pretty funny set at the Arcata.
I'm sure of it. Because a Hubert Humphrey impression never goes out of style.
Well, see, yeah.
I could listen to Hubert Humphrey all day, every day.
I can't recall the most recent person
that's the downside of Rich Little.
He does a good Richard Nixon. I saw him in Vegas.
Great Richard Nixon. Yes.
Kim Gordon chiming in.
He does impressions of people from the 60s better than anybody.
Yeah, he's
where
great.
He
grew up.
I saw him in Vegas. I loved it. Loved every minute of it.
Right.
I don't need to have him on because I got to meet him and see a show.
Yeah.
And really, I mean, if he comes to the Arcata again, he's totally worth seeing.
Are you
seeing.
Making a wish list? Is that what you're saying?
No, sent us a list of, there's this agency that represents kind of the stars of yesteryear, and they've sent us a list of potential guests.
You as a comic, I think,
I'd like to talk to him.
Okay, then put him on the list.
I would love to. You're okay with that?
If I can chime in on Happy Days, let's have a whole Happy Days reunion.
Everybody.
I love that. Have them all on.
You want everybody on.
Yeah, all on at the same time.
Yeah.
Just talk
Aaron
about the
Moran
old days.
No longer with
no
us.
Longer
we could talk to Anson Williams about that as well.
Well, if you'll remember,
when we had him in, he
really tried to help her, because that's when...
Had she passed away when we had him in?
No,
she was not doing well.
She was having trouble.
Destitute. She was... Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. He did reach out.
Yeah, he tried.
See, that's a nice guy.
All right. I'm going to underline his name then. So Rich Little is a go.
That's up to you. I've always wanted to talk to him, but
my one thing of advice to him, whenever Rich Little would come to me for advice, I would always say the same thing. I'd say, Rich, you got to update some of the... I mean, Spiro Agnew going grocery shopping is funny. It's always going to be funny, but you got to update a little bit.
You should do it before, it's too late.
Right.
Then you don't want to miss it.
No, you're right.
Bill, a text. Am I crazy or did Marion Ross marry Captain Steubing from the Love Boat or on the Love Boat? Was she on the Love Boat?
He married Charo, I think, on the Love Boat. I think he got...
Steubing walked away with Charo?
Yeah. I'm almost positive. Coochie Coochie's right.
Hoochie Coochie.
On the Aloha deck.
No, I think she was Coochie Coochie. Hoochie Coochie Man was Muddy Waters. I'm getting them mixed
up. Captain Steubing did not marry Muddy Waters.
No.
He sailed the Muddy Waters.
God.
But he never married them.
Do we have more?
Yeah.
Because we have to take a break and do some news, and then we have to talk
names
about
on the list, Wendy.
The hottest show to have ever been on HBO, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men, as they give us what's hot and what's cold. We've got so much to fit in. Can we take a break and continue?
We're going to have to. That's our only alternative. Stick around. More of this. Bill and Wendy, WGN. It's up to you, Wendy. I got just a couple more names on this list. These are potential guests.
Let's finish that up.
Yeah. All right, so there's an agency that sent Jasmine, our producer, Kim, a bunch of stars from older times. Yeah, you know, stuff that was popular in the 70s or the 80s and stuff. And we're just deciding who we want to have on as guests. I hope you'll know who this is, because she was a major component of TV back in the 70s. Joyce Boulafont.
Was she blonde?
Yeah. I'll tell you what she is best known for.
I know who she is.
Do you know who she is? I think she's probably best known as the wife of Murray Slaughter on the Mary Tyler Moore Show. But she was also, remember in the movie Airplane, the little girl who is sick on the plane, and then she's traveling with her mother.
Yeah.
She's the mother on that.
Wow, she must be up there.
Now, can I tell you a weird coincidence about what I just told you there? In that movie, Airplane, she's the mother of the sick girl, and that sick girl is Jill Whelan, is the actress who plays it. Jill Whelan also played the Love Boat.
Yeah.
She was Captain Steubing's daughter.
Right.
And she played Captain Steubing's wife on the Mary Tyler Moore Show. So it's like a weird triangle.
That is it.
I think we should have her on just for that.
Yeah.
You're not sold?
I don't want to run.
You don't want to run? You've always had this weird show business feud with Joyce Mullen.
No, I haven't.
I think she's probably... I mean, if she was on with Betty White on Mary Tyler Moore, how old are we talking? She is.
She's got to be in her 70s or 80s.
You think?
Probably 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would think 80s.
Yeah, yeah. She was married... Oh, I didn't realize this. She was married to Roger Perry, another TV star from the 70s. Best known for his work, of course, Kim, from Count Yorga Vampire.
I'm not sure. I don't remember. I don't know what you're talking about. Have you switched languages all of a sudden? Yorga? Hey, Yorgi.
Not hey, Yorgi. All right. So you say no to Joyce Boulafont. I may just talk to her privately. Because there's some things.
Her to give us a call.
I want to talk. I've always wanted to talk to her. You won't remember who this is, Wendy, but you and I had her on as a guest once before. Rosalind Kind. Do you know who that is? You and I interviewed her about 3 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago.
Did it go well?
Yeah, it went really well. But why is she famous? Any ideas?
No, clueless.
Is she related to somebody very famous?
Richard Kind?
No. Great, very good guess, but no.
Chicago actor.
She is the sister of...
Barbara Streisand.
Barbara Streisand.
Yeah, I do remember that.
Oh, you know what?
She's very talented.
Yeah, she's very talented.
Actually, Paul Lesnick and Eric Rung had her on over the holidays when I was working. Yes, they did. And
then
they said she was a great interview.
That was the breaking point
there
for
you
Wendy.
Go. Well, she's been on recently.
Yeah, she has been. Yeah, so, she was a nice lady.
What is she promoting?
They're selling DVDs of her interview with Paul Lesnick and Eric Rung. I don't know why people would want to buy that, but they're selling those. Says they can't keep them in stock.
She was really good, but, you know, again, I've talked to her. I don't...
They said she sounds exactly like Barbara Streisand.
Yeah,
that's what they said, yeah.
Doesn't look like her that much.
And honestly,
no. And
I follow Barbara Streisand on Instagram.
Oh, you do?
And she just put up... apparently, it was just her birthday, and she put up this picture of her and her sister when they were little girls.
Oh,
it was very sweet.
That's excellent.
Yeah. And they get along. They're not...
really well.
Yeah.
Do you remember there was a singer in the 60s? Her name was Julie Budd, and everybody said... Well, that's the next Barbara Streisand. And much like whenever a band comes along and people go, that's the next Beatles, that was the kiss of death for Julie Budd. You didn't want to be the next Streisand because
there's not going to be.
She looks like a Julie Budd double D. Not talking about
her. Wendy, that's
it's
personal.
It's B-U-D-D.
Yeah.
American cabaret singer. She was a supporting act for Frank Sinatra shows at Caesar's Palace a lot.
She would always be on... Merv Griffin show. She'd be on Dinah Shore show, and they would always say, "If you like Barbara Streisand, you're gonna love Julie Budd." And I always went, "Oh, don't!"
It's like the nail in the coffin, right there.
Killing her. Don't. She was really talented, but again, everything she did was compared to Barbara Streisand. And Kim, you've gone through that. You know what that's like.
Yeah.
I don't need to talk to her again.
All
it's
right.
up to you, unless
Cross
you want
off.
To.
No. I don't need to. And let me give you one more.
And me saying no is not meaning I'm not a fan or I don't think they're great. Sometimes
But my fear is now we'll have Joyce Boulafont on and you'll just rip her to shreds
on
the air.
No, I actually like
Eric Rohn and Paul Lesnick will beat you to it.
I know they would. I'll give you one more name and then we have other things to discuss. Peter Mark Richman.
I don't know who that is.
He was not quite a child actor. But like in his teens and early 20s, now he's an older man now, he's in his 80s or 90s, but he was on episodes of Twilight Zone, Mission Impossible, Gunsmoke, The FBI, Murder, She Wrote, Hawaii 5-0, The Wild West, Wild Wild West, on and on and on and on and on. He was like one of those guys that showed up in every show that was on, and you'd always go,
sort of
oh,
like
that guy.
People who show up on Special Victims Unit, like everybody's on that show.
Yeah, like that, where no one knows, It's so funny in Hollywood. You can do that for 25 or 30 or 40 years where nobody knows your name, but every time you see him, you go, oh, I know who that guy is. What's his name? I don't know who that guy is. So I'll put him down as probably not. Oh, it says here, Wendy, you can ask him about working with June Allison.
Oh, great. All right, I would.
Lassie?
He worked with Lassie. It says you can ask him about working with June Allison and Jane Wyman. Well, that'd be fun.
He co-starred on Long Street, which was a show I loved. Wasn't he a
blind detective?
Detective. That's right.
James Franciscus.
Yes.
right?
And he had...
I always got James Franciscus and Tony Franciosa mixed up.
Yes, I did too.
Very similar names.
Yet they looked very different. Yeah. One was blonde, one was not.
Yeah.
But I liked Longstreet's dog. He had a seeing eye dog, that white dog. It was beautiful.
Right. And who was his girlfriend? Was it Marilyn Mason? Was that her name on Longstreet?
I think it was Marilyn Manson.
Marilyn Manson would play the girlfriend on Longstreet. That was so ahead of its time, because back then, for a blind detective to have a girlfriend who was a rock idol, you didn't see that much. You did not see that. Marsha Mason? Marilyn Mason? What was her name?
I don't remember her name.
No?
But, all right, so this Peter Mark Richman was also on Three's Company as the attorney Andrew Laird.
I think just for an episode.
Yeah.
Not often.
Excuse me, as an attorney.
Yeah.
Andrew Laird on Dynasty for 4 years.
Oh, right, right.
He recurred on Beverly Hills 90210 for Aaron Spelling.
He has, for people, I mean, you can Google him easily, but he has very pointed features. Like, he looks like, oh, this will sound awful, but it's true. He looks like an actor who would play an alien on Star Trek, doesn't he?
Yes. And he also...
He looks like a Romulan.
A little bit. And
that's
just
horrible.
Harsh features.
Yeah. Like, if somebody said about you, Kim, you're lovely, but you look like a Romulan, you'd go, oh, come on, what's with that? So I'm sorry to the family and friends of Peter Mark Richman, but he does.
He was, he does, I think he was on some Star... He was on Star Trek The Next Generation.
Was he?
Yeah.
As a Romulan?
I don't know that.
That was the week that the makeup people went on strike, so they just got actors who looked like the different
it
planets.
It didn't need a lot of help.
Right.
He starred in the films Friday the 13th, Part 8, and Naked Gun 2.5.
Wow.
He did a lot of stuff.
Yeah. He is one of the guys, I swear, when you see his face, you go, oh, I've seen that guy 1,000 times.
So when you have these older people on who, you know, have been stars in the past, do they just want to reminisce about the past, or do they talk about what they're
doing
now?
It's so funny. Sometimes they'll come on and their agent will go, hey, like, it'll be, I'm trying to think of who a good example is, like, who's somebody who's only known for one show? Like, Jay North was Dennis the Menace. So, like, we'd have him on and the agent will go, he doesn't want to talk about Dennis the Menace. You can ask him about other things, but don't bring up Dennis the Menace.
It's like asking Jerry Mathers not to talk about the Beaver.
Talk.
Right, but Beave will talk about the Beaver.
Loves to talk about
it. Yeah. And as it should be, because that's where he got his start.
Right.
We get so frustrated when, you know, if we talk to David Cassidy, didn't prior to, you know, he didn't sound
he had a
well.
Right. Yeah.
And didn't.
He has.
Did they say we weren't supposed to bring up the Partridge Family, or?
I don't remember that with him.
But there,
don't forget where you came from.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Exactly.
When I was working at another station with another partner, this was not Wendy, this was somebody else, we had Kim Fields on. She was doing some show here in Chicago. TV's Tootie.
Love that show.
So they told us before she arrived, you can say in her introduction that she was on Facts of Life, but no more after that. She wants to talk about the new show. She doesn't want to talk about Facts of Life. So the person I was working with not only would talk about Facts of Life, but referred to her as Tootie, not Kim Fields. But she'd go, Tootie, that one time when you, like, and I kept going, oh, this is not going to be well. And the press people were in the producer's booth looking at us like, what are you doing? We just said, do not bring this up. But she only referred to her as Tootie through the whole interview.
Was she mad?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Furious.
Really? Was this person furious. Trying to be funny by
no.
doing it?
No. She only, because in this person's world, she
That's
only
she
knew
her
as
right.
Tootie. So, Kim Fields didn't exist. Only Tootie from Facts of Life existed.
It was Marlon Mason who played the wife.
Marilyn.
It says M-A-R-L-Y-N.
No, it was I know it was Marilyn Mason.
Maybe
then call...
I got to call IMDb. Are they the ones who are saying it Marlon?
They're all saying... Maybe she pronounced it Marilyn.
Oh, maybe.
Like Marilyn.
Oh, maybe.
But it wasn't. It's not Marilyn.
Spelled M-A-R-L-Y-N?
Yes.
Okay.
So I'll give
you
credit.
I got to change my gift registry.
Is there anyone else? Because I have some big news we have to
No, that's
about.
It. All right. So
that was
all
really the last...
There's more, but they get weirder and more obscure, if you can imagine.
I was going to say it's pretty...
yeah, it's already over the edge of
so
obscure.
So who have we decided on? Marion Ross and Anson Williams?
We decided on Marion Ross, Rich Little... And there's a maybe on Anson Williams and Joyce Boulafont.
I said no to Joyce Boulafont. Are you just doing
just pushing Joyce?
No, you said afterwards, you go, just because I'm saying no, don't totally discount her.
You want to talk to her?
I would love to talk to Joyce Boulafont.
All right, I'll listen.
Because I want to hear stories about the glory days of the Mary Tyler Moore Show. I love that show.
All right.
And she was in the heart. I mean, she wasn't on every episode, but
she was.
She was there.
She kind of reminded me of my mom a little bit with the little.
You're right.
The little flip up dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Just kind of sassy and.
Yeah.
Isn't that like smart alecky a little bit?
Yeah.
Yet nice.
Oh, she was always
great. She kind of reminded me of my mom a little bit.
Tell me
All right.
That.
Well, so now you have to have
You have
her
to have
All
her on. Right. It's a tribute to your mom. What is the news sad you're about to give us?
No, it's great.
Right.
Again, we were talking about what's hot and what's cold. Thanks to American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men. We promoted this a long time ago. It's been the 20th anniversary of The Sopranos, which no one said The Sopranos. Everybody said The Sopranos. But technically, it's The Sopranos.
Yeah.
HBO's biggest hit. To date, maybe?
If not their biggest.
Is Game of Thrones bigger now?
I think Game of Thrones probably is. Yeah.
It might be.
But this was on, it's the 20th anniversary, which I'm shocked it was
of
20.
The first episode? Not of the show ending, right? Of the very first episode, I think.
Yes. They were just all on the Today Show this morning.
Were
yes.
They?
There was a big reunion
yes.
Talking about James Gandolfini
it was
and
very
the
sad.
Terrible loss of him.
It is terrible.
And then the other news that I have that I swear to you I didn't know, maybe Bill did because he's Mr. Entertainment. Or son of entertainment.
Son of entertainment.
Because Mr. Entertainment would be Dean Richards, of course.
And he is my dad.
There's a new Sopranos prequel movie.
Yes.
I didn't know anything about it. The Many Saints of Newark is going to look familiar to fans of the original show.
Right.
Is it a movie on HBO or coming out in the theaters?
It's a film. Creator David Chase is putting it together.
I don't know if they have said where it's going to air yet. I don't know if they have.
No. Well, page6.com is where I got this. They have learned that New Jersey's Holstein's Ice Cream Parlor and Eatery, the location of the final scene of The Sopranos.
Yes.
In the finale, will appear in this forthcoming film.
Oh, good.
The restaurant housed the scene where James Gandolfini's Tony Soprano and his family noshed on O-rings before the screen cut to black.
Yeah.
HBO contacted us to shoot on location, according to Holston's co-owner, and they're going to start shooting some scenes here. They don't comment on possible filming locations. How are they going to do this without Gandolfini?
Well, here's what
maybe they'll all be at his funeral and reminisce or something.
No, because it's a prequel. So you'll get young Tony Soprano.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
So the storyline, if it holds true to what Chase's original version was remember Tony's dad was also in the mob and then his Uncle Junior was also in the mob.
Loved Uncle
Junior.
So the
plan was it would focus on Tony's dad, on the uncle, and then a couple of other characters that
so you'll
we knew
go
on
back
the show.
A generation.
Yeah. I mean, Tony would be in it, but.
Make it
the
have
original
a little
version
boy
was
play
it's
him.
A yeah, and yeah. They actually did that a couple times on the show. They would do flashback scenes and use a little boy to play Tony.
It's been picked up by New Line Cinema, so that's big screen.
That's
huh?
Great. Yeah, good.
I am.
Does it say when to look for it?
No.
If they're just planning filming now, it's probably 2 years away.
I can't wait. Why do you wait so long? Do you let people miss you? Do you wait for a landmark anniversary like this, the 20th anniversary of the Sopranos?
I think in this case, because David Chase worked so diligently on the show, so hard for so long, you probably need some time to
a
just
a 20-year break?
Well, no, it started 20 years ago and it ran for 7 years,
oh,
right?
Yes.
So it was a 13-year break. And if you'll remember, there were a couple of years, like most shows come back in the fall, but on HBO, like there was one time, much like with Curb Your Enthusiasm, there was one time where almost 2 years passed
yes.
between seasons.
And Curb went away for a
yeah.
long time.
Yeah, seven, several years.
Yeah. And now it's coming back for another season.
Is it coming back?
Yeah.
Is it going to be 7 years again?
No. I hope sooner than that. I hope.
But now they'll be without
Bob Einstein.
Yeah.
Yeah. Marty Remember? Funkhauser.
Yeah, I couldn't think of his name for a minute.
I couldn't think of it either.
Yeah, he'll be gone. That's sad.
But I didn't know about David Chase working on the prequel.
Yeah, it's been on a back burner for a while. You knew it was going to happen eventually. The strange thing is, if Gandolfini was still alive, you would want him in this, and that makes it difficult because you're using some of the same characters. But if you'll remember, most of the main characters on the show were killed off in the last year or two.
I want to see a young Polly Walnuts, though.
Yeah.
I mean, did he have little kid track suits that he wore around?
Yes.
A pinky ring when he was four?
Grand Animals track suits for Polly Walnuts.
They were running that on WGN TV Morning News today, and just Polly killed me.
Yeah, he was great.
They all were good.
Sirica, and, was that the actor's name who played him?
I don't remember.
Yeah, and, he was great.
And Christopher has been on a lot of things.
He's gone. His character's been
spoiler
erased.
Spoiler alert.
Maybe. His character might be gone.
Well, no, because this is them before.
In the prequel, yeah, he wouldn't even be born yet.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
In the prequel. If Tony's a kid.
I guess, yeah.
You don't even get him. The other day, HBO is doing a thing now because it's the anniversary where in the afternoons they're running, I think, 3 episodes in a row every day. So it just happened to be on, and I watched it, and it's one of my favorite episodes where Tony brings, I hope you'll remember this, I won't give too much away. Tony brings Meadow to a college. She's looking at colleges, and then while he's in this small college town, he runs into a guy that ratted on the family years ago and has to decide what to do about that. And it's one of their best episodes ever. It just happened to be on, and I hadn't seen an episode since the last episode was on. And I was so spellbound that I had other things I needed to do. And I go, I cannot walk away from this. This is too good to walk away from.
I got to watch it.
I knew
it.
What was going to happen.
I've never
beat
seen
for beat.
The Sopranos.
Oh, you've never seen it?
It is just, you know.
Well, I should binge watch it now.
It's really good.
And I mean, really, you don't need to be a fan of the mob to enjoy it. It helps. But I mean, it is just really, it was done so well. The characters are amazing.
It's excellent.
It's really good.
All right.
And to their credit,
it's a good thing to watch for the winter.
When you think about the guys that were, the show was about, which was Tony and his crew of guys, they did horrible, despicable things, and yet the mastery of the show was you wanted them to succeed.
That wild?
You were on their side.
100%.
When you stop and go, why do I want these guys who are murderers and robbers and thieves to succeed? And yet you did.
And they
very strange.
Were terrible. I mean, they were bad cats,
in
man.
Every way, shape, and form, they were bad men that you wanted to succeed.
That's when, the mob mentality.
And even bad husbands, bad fathers.
Bad everything.
But you still like, come on.
Horrible. Horrible. I mean, there were.
Is it because you could see just a glimmer of hope in all of them at some point?
No.
Nope.
Nope. There was no glimmer of hope.
But you came to love them as
right.
You knew more about them. That's a really weird thing.
Yeah.
Of why you wanted them to succeed so well.
And every year they would bring in a new, there'd be a new guy, like Joe Pantoliano was on for a year, remember? There were a couple of other actors that you knew they weren't long for the world.
Yeah.
How many seasons do I have to watch?
I would watch it start to finish.
No, I'm saying how many seasons are there?
Seven?
I think so. I think seven.
I think
seven?
They did 7 years. And like I said, the timing was weird because for a while they were coming back kind of like clockwork. And then there was a year and a half.
I've seen bits and pieces. Like, who's the actress? She's so good, who played his psychiatrist.
Lorraine Bracco.
Oh, yes. She's so good.
She's
awesome.
Dr. Jennifer Melfi. Was that her name?
And, you know, when you think about Satriali's, you don't want to ever eat Italian sausage again sometimes after some episodes. It's pretty good.
Was the restaurateur that he was friends with, Artie Bucco, was that his name?
Oh, I loved Artie Bucco.
But then when they this is weird reminiscing because you haven't seen it, Kim, but there was a falling out.
No, but you're really pumping
out.
Me up now to like want to go home and start watching
Artie
this.
Bucco was so wonderful.
Yeah.
He really meant to do well by himself, his family.
Yeah, the restaurant.
The other family.
His restaurant to do well. Yeah, and the story had so many subplots and twists and turns, and it's really, you know, you'll never recreate what The Godfather and Goodfellas did in the cinema, but that's like the heir apparent, you know, it kind of led to that, and it's so funny. I didn't see when the show first started. I didn't see the very first episode, and so many people came up to me and they go, "We know how much you love The Godfather. Please tell me you saw The Sopranos." And I didn't see it. Right. You have to start. And
Are you drawn in right away?
Yeah. It took no time at all for you to go, I
can't wait till next week.
Yeah.
And that's when you couldn't binge. You had to wait.
It was so good.
Also, before we have to wrap up, but I wanted to mention, too, that Cody Parkey is going to be on the Today Show.
Yes, I heard that.
And that's been big news because, really, I'm shocked that he's going all the way to, you know, a major show when he could just be on ESPN right. or some other football
tonight.
Well,
but
tonight.
The thing is that that game was on NBC.
Oh,
it was a Sunday night game. So
right.
maybe that has something to do with
could
it.
Could be, yeah. But just the mere fact that a kicker missing a field goal is a story on a show like the Today Show instead of just being on an ESPN type
right.
show, that just shows how much scope there is there.
Exactly.
You know? Kim, thanks for hanging out.
Thank you.
Greatly
guys.
Appreciated. We'll close things off in just a moment. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Thanks, Antique Lady.
You know where I first heard about the Antique Lady? When you did overnights at
yeah.
this very radio station.
She was a sponsor and a nice lady. I went to see the Antique Lady. She's a nice lady.
I like her.
Nice lady. All right. Tomorrow on the regular show, race car legend Rick Steves.
he's a travel expert.
Rick Steves. And in the future, sometime in the future, Rich Little.
And Marion Ross.
Marion Ross. Maybe Patsy Weber. Maybe Joyce Boulafont. We'll see. You said a yes on her, right?
Yeah, that's fine.
We're having her. All right. That'll be fun. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Tomorrow's Friday.
Oh, yeah.
Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.